mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 434. I'm Adam, and it stands for Time and Relative Dimension in Space.
I nearly said that one wrong.
And here's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Look at you and your platoon of Jadoon near the that lagoon.
Yes, she's back, Stebby Melrose.
Crow, crow, tro, crow, so, fro, so, so, toe.
Yeah. That was going to be my quote.
So why didn't you say it then? You had the opportunity. Grief. And today we're going to be looking at something of the Jadoon. Is it Fugitive of the Jadoon? Fugitive of the Jadoon.
Fugitive of the Jadoon.
Say that several times fast.
Fugitive of the Jadoon.
Fugitive of the Jadoon. Fugitive of the Jadoon.
Right. And here we go. Right. So, I was going to say something else. I'm not sure there was something else I was going to say. No, it wasn't. So the episode begins with a new BBC logo. You don't see that unless you're watching
it
online.
Well, not on my copy.
No, you only see that if you're watching it, if you've bought the series pass on iTunes, which is a bit superfluous because obviously if you've got the BBC iPlayer, you get the series on tap anyway via the iPlayer app on the Amazon Fire Stick. So there you go. Anyway, so we start, the episode starts, after the titles, with a lady looking at a watch which is ticking its way towards 8 o'clock, which was obviously a clue later on, but
yeah,
there
look
we go.
At the colour blue on it as well.
It's one of those, I was about to say, colour blue.
This is the first and only Doctor Who story, other than having to write questions for quizzes, that I've deliberately wanted to watch a second time. This is a particularly good episode to watch a second time after its first viewing. Anyway,
I've seen it 6 times so far.
Have you really? Oh, you must have plenty of time on your hands, for goodness sake. Anyway, so she's basically making herself some breakfast, and the bloke from Game On, I think it was Game On, wasn't it? Was it the second bloke?
Yeah, it was Game On.
The bloke from Game On wanders into the room, and hang on, I've got a very itchy bat. I'm just scratching it with my my elder wand, which is very useful for a bat scratcher. Comes in and just exchanges some sort of I'm living with you banter with the said woman, who is called Ruth. And you should have seen this coming. She just goes about her everyday life, because this is very much a sort of everyday life sequence of events. But as soon as she sort of puts a lanyard on and leaves the flat, he then does a slightly sinister stroke worried look off camera.
Yeah, he looks very, very suspicious.
Yeah. So she walks out of the flats or apartment or whatever you want to call it.
We suspect him, aren't we? In case we'd heard rumours and things like that about what was going on.
Yes.
He was the red herring.
Yes, the red herring. And also, yeah, we were supposed to think that he was the fugitive. Anyway, so she's sort of this lady, Ruth, starts wandering around giving out leaflets and stuff like that, high-fiving children and being really friendly to everybody.
Saying hi to nearby waterfowl.
Yeah, and of course nobody wants. She's basically trying to sell or encourage people to take tours of Gloucester Cathedral. Is that right? Did I get that right, Debbie?
Yeah, not just
Gloucester. Yeah.
What?
Well,
yeah, not just the cathedral, the entire
just Gloucester
city.
In general, but she was sort of talking about the cathedral a lot.
But and may I point out that she is apparently fairly successful because she has 3 tours a day.
And a big flat.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, maybe she got the flat off the back of her partner's success as well. You know, 2 people living together.
His success as a bathroom fixture salesman?
Well, he might be exceptionally successful. Maybe he's got an online shop. Be quiet, Kirby. Anyway, right. So anyway, there's this little woman, this little old lady sitting on the bench knitting. And they just have a little shot of her. And then Ruth goes into a little coffee shop where the bloke who runs the coffee shop fancies her. Deb said that he reminded her of Arthur Darvill.
He was creepy.
Master?
Yes.
Someone said that to me, I'd go to a different coffee shop.
What, flirted with you?
Master.
Yes.
He was one of the pirates who disappeared and reappeared mysteriously in Curse of the Bad Plot.
Was he? I never knew that. Well done, yes. Kirby.
Well, that's why we don't remember it very well.
That's right.
But anyway, so he clearly found, he's trying to put Ruth off of the chap. What's his name? Oh, Lee, isn't it? He's trying to put him off because he fancies Ruth. And Debbie says that some coffee shop owner just expressed a slight attraction to her. She would go to another coffee shop.
Not like that. You know, getting a dossier out on Tom and things like that. No. It's all right. I'm quite happy for a bit of banter, but someone taking a dossier out and being really creepy at me, I would not be patronising his coffee shop. I didn't mean just because he was a bit flirty. He wasn't. He was
dead. But anyway, the next shot is an exterior sort of looking at Earth shot with a spaceship sort of hovering in the... in orbit, I suppose you'd call it. And it's quite funny. As the camera pans across, it's like the opening to the APV services presents little get thing. And you sit at the beginning of the APV services videos. That's my videos, by the way. You wouldn't have ever seen those, would you? You would do if you go to the APV services, the 20 megabyte.
I've seen plenty of them.
Have you? What? Express them to me so as you know, I know you're talking about the same thing.
Weddings.
Yeah, no, you don't see these on the montage. It's only on the full videos. But there is one, a full video, not a wedding video, but there's a full video on the 20 megabyte podcast YouTube channel. And that does actually have my opening bumpers, which includes the planet Earth and the words rising above the Earth thing, Adam's professional video services proudly presents. And that's basically what that Earth thing looked like. So I was quite impressed by that. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so on the spaceship are some... clearly, obviously, Jadoon. It doesn't take a, scientist to work out a Jadoon when they take their helmets off. But if people are watching this and have never seen Doctor Who before, I suppose, I have to bring this slight bit of mystery into it. But they are rather cool aliens, aren't they?
Yes. I love the Jadoon.
Yes. And then we cut to the Doctor sort of faffing around in the TARDIS while the three others are sat on their things that aren't seats. I think they're essentially stairs, waiting for the Doctor to, sort of basically pay attention to them, I suppose you call it. Well, she's sulking a bit because obviously she's trying to find...
Master?
Oh, God.
Are you doing a video feed of this?
Yes, there should be a video feed. I did start it. That's why I said shut up for a bit.
I don't see it.
You don't see it. Well, are you supposed to be watching the video feed or... Oh, what's happened?
It's not on.
I said start and I was on it for a bit and it's disappeared. How weird.
See? I was right.
What happened? It was on there. I said I press play and everything. How weird. What am I going to do? I have to redo it. I'll refresh the page. I blame Kirby for this. Right, let's try again. Could have told me about how long ago was it? Did we start about 10 minutes ago? Could have told me about 10 minutes ago that happened. Let's try again then. Episode. Then
someone's probably complaining by now.
Well, hang on. Again. Right. Oh, that's not how you spell again. Right. And we'll go live again, even though I've already started it. It's just typical when give me an episode like this and it all
goes
wrong.
Do we get
wrong.
To do our...
No, they'll have to watch the podcast. No, watch the podcast. They'll have to listen to the podcast. Anyway, well done, Kirby. I suppose you deserve one of these for that.
Thank you.
Mm. But keep an eye on that, because if it's going to keep failing...
Hey, live now, episode 4-4, live again.
Anyway, back to the episode. We're only 5 minutes in, by the way. The Doctor's having a sulk and just sort of musing about the fact that she can't find the Master anywhere and her own planet's been sort of frazzled and, she's sort of fretting about that a little bit. But sort of say they hang around and look after her and help her because that's what their job is. And then back to the Jadoon, who are looking for their fugitive. They've narrowed him down, or him stroke her down to Gloucester, and they all turn up in this peaceful town, city. It's a city, isn't it? And
Yeah, it is a city, yeah.
And then, actually, as the story goes, they were quite close to finding the fugitive at that particular point. So they go around stamping people to clear, make it clear that they're
not... The fact they compensate the lady they later frazzle with.
Yeah, and then they kill her.
And then she didn't exactly... They didn't directly kill her. She ran into the field around the city.
Yeah, but they killed her.
Yes.
A British reference, Debbie, but one of the people that was cleared that did look like Paul Hollywood out of Great British Bake Off.
He did, didn't he? Yes, yeah. He did. I thought that.
And like you said, Debbie, the silly woman who just shoved the Dragoon and got obviously sentenced to death for assaulting an officer. And then Lee turns up in the coffee shop and. And then the bloke who runs the coffee shop presents the cake that says, "You can do better." Sorry, that was really funny. And they have a little bit of sort of, got the girl, you haven't banter. And then the doctor, Yaz, and is it just your doctor? Oh, yeah, Dr. Yaz and Graham turn up. And then Graham gets left behind while the doctor and Yaz leave. And as the doctor and Yaz leave, Graham, who's admiring the cake, just disappears. He looks like he's been teleported somewhere, but he does disappear. Of course, all this going.
Ryan with them.
Eh?
Isn't Ryan with them at this point? You didn't mention him.
I don't know. I think I didn't see Ryan as I was skipping through the clip, but yes. But either way, the point of the thing is that Graham is left in the cafe and he is the one that gets teleported. Okay, Debbie, am I right with that one?
Yes, yeah, you're right with that.
Yeah, thank you very much. That's right. At least I'm right with something. Anyway, so meanwhile, Lee. For God's sake.
I absolutely love the new, better animatronics for the Jadoon head.
Fantastic.
It is so expressive.
Yes, Deb. Right.
That and Paul Casey's body language, and it's wonderful.
Thank you. So anyway, Lee finds the rather panicking Ruth in the middle of the square, who's wondering what the hell's going on, and he's trying to sort of get her out of the square and to get her away from the Jadoon. A Jadoon officer then wanders into the coffee shop, and the bloke who's running the coffee shop said, "I've got a lot of stuff on the fugitive, I know it is." And he pushes the officer and gets sentenced to immediate death. I quite like that little character, but I understand that you didn't like him very much, Deb, so you're probably quite pleased at this point that he got...
Well, no one deserves to be frazzled, but he was incredibly creepy.
Okay. On the feed, we've got Lillian Robin. What? You already started before starting the video? Yeah, can someone explain to Lillian that the feed dried up?
We thought we turned it on, and we had...
I did turn it on, thank you, Debbie. It just didn't start properly. I had the countdown. You know when I said to you, shut up, we're doing the countdown? It was counting down, and then it started, although at the corner of my eye, I didn't see the red live thing come up.
Yeah, listeners, this is how he treats us as well.
That's how I treat you.
It's not a put-on for the show. It is actually the way he speaks.
Excuse me, what do you mean, how I treat you? what else have we got here? We've got Rhys Parton joined. So why isn't he on the show, Rhys Parton?
He's probably listening covertly or watching covertly. She's at work.
No, he needs to be on the show.
He's probably cutting the cheese.
let him. He can't.
That's what we're doing at the moment.
But at least he's making an effort to.
Are we not cutting the cheese? Lauren Nick says, "I can never figure out when you are live. Facebook doesn't give me a notice. So frustrating. I've been waiting for it to pop up for 15 minutes. That's what she said, funny enough. And Terry Miles says, "Hi, Adam and Co." Yeah, sorry about that. It was Debbie's fault.
No, it wasn't.
Back to the episode. Where do I get up to?
Hey, at least I reminded Master to start it.
So anyway, long story, back to the episode. Lee takes Ruth back to the flat. Ruth's looking a bit confused and panicky because she's not used to seeing aliens running around in her neighbourhood. The doctor then turns up in superb style and waves the psychic notebook in front of the Jadoon sort of leader's face and very quickly convinces him that she's a superior officer.
Master?
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Convinces her.
I beg your pardon?
It's established in dialogue that the Jadoon commander is
a female.
Female.
woman to woman.
Thank you very much. All right, I may have missed that little detail. No.
What I was also thinking is she's referred to doing this, you know, man to man. Oh, I've got to stop doing that. So I wondered if she just said woman to woman. But then again, it was implied that the Jadoon captain was a woman. So it was a bit ambiguous there.
Oh, God. Yes, okay. Anyway.
So it was interesting.
It's a very interesting.
I like it.
It's a very good scene in which the doctor sort of is all doctory in that particular scene.
There are no bad scenes in this story.
Can I continue? Anyway, so she sort of manipulates the situation so as they can do a little bit of snooping. And as they sort of head off into the apartment to do some snooping and get given, I think it's 5 minutes by the Jadoon to do the snooping. Of course, he does the countdown straight away and the doctor says we haven't started yet or something like that as they run into the thing. Next scene, we have Graham lying on his back in a hexagonal paving situation.
It looks almost like a TARDIS console on an altar.
It does indeed. Mm. It does look like a sort of like a place of worship, doesn't it? For some anyway, and there's some sounds coming over like a PA system and some a voice that, and when we were watching, we were thinking, oh, that sounds a bit like Captain Jack, and then of course he appears. I didn't actually hear what he said at the time because me and Isabella were too busy jumping around the room going, and the wonderful scene. What?
Master, I wish that I had not been spoiled.
Well, you shouldn't have been then. It's your own blooming fault because we weren't spoiled.
No, it was Facebook's fault.
Well, you should have steered clear of that side of Facebook.
No, I couldn't steer clear from it because we were all getting ready for last week's podcast recording, and you just could not steer clear of it.
But I didn't see anything about Captain Jack on there. All I saw about on Facebook was about the other Doctor.
That's but you must have been really
excited,
enjoying yourself, because all I knew was that Captain Jack was in there. I had no idea about the really big thing later on.
That's what she said. Anyway, but back to the episode. Anyway, there's a great scene where John Barrowman runs over and kisses. It wasn't John Barrowman. It was Captain Jack running over and kissing Graham on the lips, which I think would have in studio would have been quite amusing for Mrs. Barrowman and I forgot. I'm losing the plot here because it's so Bloody exciting Walsh. Just seeing it back again.
Bloody Walsh,
thank you. Yeah, but yeah. Anyway, so that's a great scene. Love it. Of course, he thinks that Graham's the Doctor. And his scoop has failed because it's getting confused, because as we didn't know at this point, there are two fugitives within the scope. And then the Doctor finally meets the person in question at the door, and in they go to the flat, and the Doctor just gets a bit of a lowdown between Lee and, because she's convinced that one of them's a fugitive. She's right. I think she thinks it's Lee, and Lee, I think, decides he's going to pretend he's the fugitive to protect Ruth. Doctor starts waving the sonic screwdriver around trying to get some readings. She gets really surprised when it reads human. Yes.
I would guess that Lee and Ruth are pretty well off, because that's a very expensive refrigerator.
Right. Can I point this out to Kirby? Right. Excuse me. The Doctor and the Doctor's companion. So they could easily have, before she turned herself human, could have got some money from somewhere and bought a flat like that. Don't be silly.
Also, there's another case of product placement on the BBC. It's a Gringy or something like that.
A what?
Well, it's a British fridge. Gorenje.
Whatever. Hadn't noticed, so it wasn't that much of a good product placement, was it? Anyway, so Captain Jack, meanwhile, is having trouble with his borrowed spaceship, and he's going to have another go at scooping up the Doctor, because now he's found out the Doctor's a girl, and he loves that. The crew have run out of time in the flat. Yaz finds this little box, yeah, the little looks like a little creepy crawly is thrown through the window and just dictates the fact that they've only got a few seconds left before the time runs out, that they've got to sort the situation out. Lee basically says, go on, go, I'll talk after the situation here. And the doctor takes Ruth away. And things just stopped.
What thing?
Me. I'm trying to scroll through this on iTunes. So they set the temporal blaster in position, and oh, good grief, it's still stopped again. I do apologise about this. I'm just having some issues. Yes.
I was quite amused that after the countdown started, before they were able to fire the thing, the Jadoon captain makes an announcement about it, the possible side effects of being in the on the receiving end of that ray. And you also hear this little thing, full documentation available on request.
Yeah, good stuff. So anyway, the Jadoon end up in the apartment, but during that time, Ryan and Yaz have been scooped up and engage in the meeting with Captain Jack. And Captain Jack thinks that Yaz is the doctor, because he knows the doctor's now a woman, and waves his fingers at Ryan in a way to imply that Ryan's quite attractive young man. So
that was so funny, because he was like, have you got the receipt for that scoop thing? Like,
yeah. And then a very sort of sinister looking sort of woman, is it a woman? I suppose it is a woman, turns up wearing some absolutely superb costume.
I love the helmet thing she was wearing.
Yeah, and she's great. She reminds me a little bit of Carly from Stranger Things. Well, I didn't say that to Isabella, because she would have said, they're copying Stranger Things again. Anyway, so they basically, what's the word for it? Interrogate Lee. And Lee stands his ground, because he's got to protect Ruth all the way through. And they know he's not the fugitive, she knows that he's not the fugitive. Even though the Jadoon around her think he is, and they find out that he's not by sort of testing him with their little testing gadget. So I can't remember that character's name, actually. I'm never very good with names. Anyway, she...
Lee?
No, not Lee. The woman who shoots him.
Oh, yeah. I don't know why I said Lee.
Blasts him to smithereens.
Something like Gat.
Gat.
Gat, something like that, right, yeah. So the Doctor and I think it's Ruth are in the cathedral, and Ruth gets a message that says, follow the light, follow the light, break the glass, happy birthday. She finds that a bit mysterious, but it seems to trigger something in her mind about this beautiful lighthouse.
It's gorgeous.
And,
yes, that's the post you just posted.
And yeah, then the Jadoon turn up, and suddenly Ruth's a bit kick-ass with the Jadoon and sorts them out, which is makes the Doctor realise.
Here's your Aikido.
Recognise
that.
Makes the Doctor realise that she's obviously, her actual real personality is hidden somewhere, but she hasn't twigged, because she wouldn't do, would she? It is what it is. Meanwhile, Captain Jack is having a bit of trouble with the spaceship he's borrowed, and he's just about to disappear. So he's just saying, I've got a message to the Doctor, and he sort of blurts out the message, this sort of typical sort of Doctor Who cryptic message. You can't just say it outright. He has to say it in a cryptic way, so as we can come back to it later in the series. Basically, it was beware the lone Cyberman or something like that, which is apparently, according to the online facility, it's going to be Brigadier Ethwich Stewart. So they're going to bring him with a. I think that might be a bit silly, to be fair. Anyway. Yeah,
I took that to be a joke.
Yeah, well, you never know. It's Doctor Who. So the Doctor tries to stir a few more memories in Ruth's mind about this place's lighthouse, and she says it's the family home, and so. The Doctor says, right, we're going there. And so they do, basically, in a very cute little VW Beetle.
I want one.
I tell you what, the background scenery that when they're inside the cathedral is beautiful, with all the sun's rays coming through the the church windows and stuff like that, which doesn't actually happen in church, but it looks really, really pretty in these scenes. So, yeah, so Captain Jack eventually disappears, like I say, and the guys are sent back to buy the scoop to where they need to be.
It's always the nanogenes.
Yeah.
Always. They're always chasing him.
They nicked the nanogenes idea from Star Trek.
There's some Master. There's some speculation that the nanogenes are, as they're attacking him, are starting to turn him into the face of Bo.
Yes, that's right. Well done. I think they could. They have to explain it somehow, don't they?
Well, he's starting to look older anyway.
Well, he would do, wouldn't he?
Good job.
He would do.
Yeah, they sort of softly lit him, didn't they?
I think what they've got to do, and next time we see them with the nanogenes, is turn his hair white.
yeah, like it is now.
He's
yeah.
still
hot. Yeah. Anyway, so the Doctor and Ruth are meanwhile riding off to the lighthouse and the beautiful red beetle. I love it.
I love the shots from the drone. I really like the use of drone in TV now.
Oh, yeah, they do a great job. It's beautiful. And, of course, they roll up at the lighthouse and Ruth sort of goes around. What's she trying to put the heating on, something like that? I can't remember now.
He goes to start a fire, she says.
That's it. And the Doctor goes...
And I guess they moved the TARDIS that was on the roof and the Dalek, which was in the foyer, so that they wouldn't be seen.
What are you talking about? Sorry.
In the actual building in real life, Adam.
Yeah, the actual building has a TARDIS on the roof and a Dalek in the main hallway.
Splendid. Anyway, so the Doctor goes up to the top of the lighthouse. Next
to where the TARDIS should be.
Then sees a grave with, somewhere nearby, which is supposed to be, I think Ruth says it's her parents' grave.
Yeah, it's supposed to be her parents'. Yeah.
But it's not got a name on it or anything like that. So she goes out
to
investigate.
Parents, Sydney and Verity.
Yeah, shut up. that would have been terrible if they'd done that. Anyway, so eventually, while skulking around a bit, Ruth is attracted to this this sort of like a fire. I suppose it's like a fire thing, isn't it? One of those fire set off.
Yeah,
fire alarms.
It's a fire alarm thing.
Because it says break glass.
Yeah.
But behind the break glass bit is the watch. You see, yes, you don't see the watch, but it is hidden behind the break glass bit. So as soon as she does break the glass, all this Arctron energy comes out of it beautifully, and you can see a sort of her face changing into the Doctor, while the other Doctor is digging up the TARDIS. Because you're watching this and you think, what, this is so exciting.
I know.
And then she turns up wearing a really weird outfit and a good gun.
I love her costume.
Oh yeah, it's a weird outfit though. I do love it. Yeah,
you know, the gun she's got, did anyone else also preempt it going, it's going to backfire?
No,
I didn't. But if you,
when
go
you watch
back
it back
and compare, Master,
yes,
if you go back and compare the design of that gun with the design of the guns from the War Games, they're very, very similar to Gallifreyan guns from back then.
Okay, but yes, I didn't, obviously watching it back then, you can see when she does reset it. So anyway, they dig up the TARDIS, and it's a beautiful retro TARDIS when they go into it. Because obviously we find it's the Doctor, and the other doctor, can't sort of work out what's going on, but she's so the Doctor, isn't she?
So yeah.
Good. Both of them, so the Doctor, but it's really good to see.
One thing that I did go back, but I downloaded the subtitles, and I went back through, and that's one thing that the Doctor, our Doctor, never introduces herself as the Doctor. To
right.
Ruth.
Right. Well, do you mean to the Doctor? Or Ruth Doctor, as they're calling her online now.
Yeah, in either case.
At the moment, she's Ruth Doctor. I'll try and call her that, but I'm just sort of... So, anyway, it's so beautiful with the retro console and the round bits. And our Doctor tests herself with a sonic screwdriver and finds that they are indeed the same person. And then they have a section where they all deliver the same lines because they're the same person. And then the TARDIS gets hijacked by this sort of...
the Jadoon.
Yeah. And the Roof Doctor tells our Doctor not to say anything course, we know that she won't be able to not say anything. And it turns out this Gat is, in fact, Gallifreyan. And I thought, did you, any of you think that when it was a, there was a point in which that before the TARDIS turned up in the grave, that you realised that Ruth was a time person, but not necessarily the Doctor? Did you get anybody get that?
No.
No. Well, I thought, hang on, this is a time lady or time person. And I thought, it's the Rani! It's the Rani! And then I thought this Gat was the Rani. I thought, oh, God's sake. But, yeah, so...
Yeah, no, it was just implied that Gat and Lee were just some sort of Gallifreyans rather than Time Lords.
Yeah, but, of course, Lee is just human. He's just the Doctor's companion.
No, he still had his bio thing on. The Doctor says that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No.
Oh, right.
I don't think he's actually disguised.
Oh, yeah, hang on, the Jadoon. Yeah, the Jadoon breaks.
He's not disguised because he has to know who the Doctor is to protect the Doctor. Does that make sense? Like,
right.
Like Freya's character did. Right. Freema's character.
He's basically Martha.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, we'll just come to that.
Yeah. So, anyway, there's a scene in which, obviously, as the contact, isn't it, when between the Doctor and Gat, when the Doctor shows Gat what she's seen of Gallifrey, because at this point,
Master,
what?
When as the two Doctors walk out of the TARDIS as they after it arrives on the Jadoon ship,
yes,
they open the door and you can see the back of the prop instead of the console.
I've got ruin it, isn't it, for people, Debbie. Tell him, please. Anyway, right,
what?
So that.
Was
yeah. Anyway, so so yeah. There's she, like I say, she says she tells Gat not to use the gun because she knows she's set it to backfire, and you can tell that she doesn't really doesn't want Gat to fire it because you tell by her eyes that this is not quite what she had planned at this stage. Anyway, so, but she Gat does fire it and she does get got and
dead. That's kind of harsh for the Doctor, though.
Yeah, but you can tell she didn't want that to happen. And then once it happened, she just went back to...
Well, why did she set it up that way in the first place? It's harsh. It's non-doctorish.
If you say so. I disagree. They go back into the TARDIS. The Doctor is completely confused by the situation. And so she leaves Roof Doctor and rejoins the TARDIS crew. Looking really confused, has to be said. And
they get even more confused.
Yeah. And they all go back in the TARDIS and
they give him give her the message from
right.
Jack. Yeah, they give him
Jack, what? I can't stand this.
And she says something on the lines that they're after me. And basically I think she more or less gives them the option to go because it's gonna get a bit dangerous. But they say, nope, we're gonna stay with you.
Man, we're family.
Yeah. And that's basically the end of that episode. But, right. Hang on, my thing stopped again. Right, so I know I might have skipped through that a bit, but it's just so exciting. I just wanted to talk about the everything.
Yeah, and you want to get away and watch the BAFTAs, too.
Oh, that will be... I'm going to have a bath before then. Right, so... It's a fairly simple, exciting, brilliant story. This is the best Doctor Who story, standalone Doctor Who story, since The Day of the Doctor.
Yes.
The Day of the Doctor was outstanding itself. It's... Just one exciting twist after another. It looks beautiful. We've got Captain Jack in it. We've got a new Doctor who is really Doctor Who because we don't know who she is or how she fits into the timeline, and then generates some theories. I did have a theory that it was an alternative timeline, but Chibnall's already said it's not. It is the Doctor, but it could be Hartnell forgot about this particular Doctor for one reason or another.
I have a theory when you get around to
me. I have a theory. The theory, too, that it is. Oh, is that, sorry, that's Monty Python, isn't it? I had to do a little Monty Python link because we forgot to mention the passing of Terry Jones on the last show. It was almost sacrilege not to mention that. But, I could go on and on about it. It's just superb. It is absolutely superb. What more can I say?
It's so exciting.
It was just, really flip about from the previous one. I was sitting down and moaning and groaning about the way the series was so far. And you get
and suddenly we got two surprises. So,
yeah, well, two. Well, yeah, it was just, wow. It was so good. It was nice to see the Jadoon back. have all these sort of confusing bits that got sorted out, and to a degree, obviously, we haven't sorted out who the Doctor is. Sorry, the Roof Doctor is, and I'm excited to find out how that pans out. I don't mind if it's another Doctor. With John Hurt's another Doctor. Didn't matter in the end of the day. I mean, some people moaned about it, but John Hurt is—he's not with us anymore, and he's a legend, and he's now in the time frame of Doctor Who. But Captain Jack's been back in it a long, long time overdue, and so wonderful to see John Barrowman back in Doctor Who, and he's really happy about it as well. By the way, he's been going on about it and how he's able to keep a secret, and the way they all the little things they did to try and cover it up, because he was back in his house in Cardiff.
He did tell David Tennant.
He may well have done, but David Tennant's a good boy. Didn't tell anyone. It's so good. Oh, this episode is brilliant. It's right up there among my favourite Doctor Who stories of all time. And it's obviously that makes it easily the best Jodie Whittaker story. And it's good for me because at least Jodie has now got a story which is up there among the best. So it would have been a shame that if she, I know she's supposed to be only doing one more year, that she wouldn't have a blink or a Parting of the Ways or anything like that. Because obviously Parting of the Ways is the best Eccleston story in my view. So it's sort of made me very happy, this particular story. I'll try and take a breath now. So I'm going to say, Debbie, what am I going to allow you to do, because you weren't on last week, is first of all tell me what we thought about the previous episode as quickly as you can, and then about the episode that I've just talked about.
Tesla one. Yes. Well, a lot better than I was anticipating, but still not. They didn't make as good a use of the baddies as I thought they would on this one. To me, it felt very, the first one, David Tennant's in. Christmas one? The one where he's lying in bed and they're going to get killed by a Christmas tree? What's it called?
Christmas Invasion?
Christmas Invasion.
It felt very Christmas Invasion.
Is there a parrot in it?
Yes, obviously. I did enjoy it. It was a lot of fun. Isla thought the Alien Queen was amazing, absolutely wonderful. I think she wants to cosplay her, to be perfectly honest. It's a bit weird because she's absolutely terrified of the Rachnos, but she didn't mind these guys at all, which is a bit weird. Maybe it's all the legs. And I really liked it. I liked the acting was good, and it was it was a lot more promising, but I already knew what was just coming, so I was sort of holding out as though it wasn't like just a normal filler episode. It was a good standalone story, and it was nice to see all the dynamics of the characters again. And Yaz just seems to be coming up on her own a bit more as well, I'd noticed. And then obviously in future episodes, shall we say, she does that too. And it was enjoyable, but Isla loved it more than I did. And then obviously we watched we watched The Fugitive of Dudun, and we watched it today actually, because I've been waiting all week for them to sit down and watch it with me, because I've watched it on my own already, but I wanted to watch it with Isla to see her reaction.
And you had to be very, very quiet not to give it away.
Exactly.
Yeah, but she wouldn't have had the same sort of feelings when Captain Jack came on the screen, would she?
No, I had to explain that. I'd already sort of prepped her that there was things going to happen in episodes that I need to show her.
Right.
And I was talking about the Sarah Jane adventures with her, and I'm actually going to get the first series for her, because she's expressed a huge interest in watching that finally. So I'm going to get her that, because what happens when the Doctor's away and things happen on Earth. And I said, we've got Torchwood, but that's a bit old for you, but we've got the Sarah Jane adventures, and I explained about that. But this one obviously felt very family of blood, and that sort of thing. It was, as Adam said, really, 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 really good. I really enjoyed it. Proper Doctor Who, new Doctor, Captain Jack's back, being just as outrageous as ever. Lovely to see him with that almost innocence again, because obviously he loses that over time.
Spent a long time mourning Yanto, didn't he?
Yeah, and Torchwood put him through the mill, really. Mm. And it's kind of nice to have him being almost back to what he was when he first met, in the Doctor dances and
he was very much.
He very much smacked straight back into his persona from that, and that was quite heartening, because it was like, if you've only met Captain Jack through maybe kids' parents were just quickly showing those episodes, Are You My Mummy, and that to kids to go, this is who this character is, then they've got him exactly as he was back then, which I really liked. And I loved Ruth. I thought she was fantastic. Mm. And to be honest, better than Jodie. I really, she brought gravitas to the Doctor.
I agree with you.
Yeah, it was the gravitas
ballsy,
of her character,
she?
And just being
very ballsy,
the grumpy
very
doctor
in control.
And, yeah,
and also you felt that she was sort of an older.
Yes, she, you know, did. Yeah, she felt,
even though she's
like,
younger than Jodie's Doctor.
But she had the gravitas.
Well, we don't know.
Yeah, she, Troughton's Hartnell, you know, she was a mix of the older Doctors. It felt like that. It really did harken back to Hartnell coming through into Troughton, and Troughton in his more, oh my goodness, moments, you know, that sort of thing. And it was really nice. And I was just sat there pretty much grinning throughout the whole story. And when she took the horn off the Jadoon and the Venetian Acuda, it was like, oh my God, this is perfect. So, yeah this is absolutely stonking episode of Doctor Who. There was no politics in it. There was no, you know, what they call what's it called? Being PC agenda, you know, that sort of thing, and all that sort of thing. It was just a good, honest Doctor Who adventure, and it was brilliant.
Thank you. Okay, Kirby, I know you're itching to say what you think. You do so.
This, I completely agree with you, Adam. This was the best Doctor Who story since Day of the Doctor. I could watch this one over and over and over again. I have. I think I've seen it 6 or 7 times now.
Well, if we had a quiz, we'd know who'd win.
I was very frustrated earlier in the week because I wanted Fred to see it, but she was busy or asleep or whatever. So it took 4 days until I was able to sit her down. I couldn't say a thing to her about it. And I was sitting here watching her out of the corner of my eye during the 2 surprise scenes. Just going, she didn't go whoop, whoop, whoop about Captain Jack, but she was pleased, I could tell. And she's more confused about where this other doctor came from. As we all, I mean, there's so many theories out there. It's crazy.
Obviously, we're going to have to wait for the finale to actually find out what's going on.
So
there you go.
I'm guessing that there was no touching of the occurrences of this story in Praxeus.
No.
Was Praxeus
no
disappointment?
No.
No, will you stop fishing about Praxeus? We're not going to give you any information.
Is that it?
Let me think what else. But I want to know.
I know you do, but you've not got long to wait.
this just was, it was marvelous. I have no more words for it. It was just...
Yeah, so you have the same difficulty I had. It was just brilliant.
Best Doctor Who in ages.
Indeed. Thank you, Kirby. Right then, what have we got coming through on the feed? We've got Alan T. Purchaser. Kirby is a slave to Facebook, apparently. Lillian Robin said...
What am I then? Oh, my God.
Lillian Robin said, this story is one of the best. Laurie Nick said, Kirby needs a timeout. Jeff Waddle said, I'm drunk. Patty Tiller said, I did not like the addition of the War Doctor, but I understand their hand was forced.
Oh. Are you done reading that stuff?
Well, for the time being, yes.
Yeah, I wanted to give you my hypothesis about Doctor fits.
Go on, then.
I believe that she is the actual Third Doctor.
Right.
Because we do know from the 2 Doctors that There were more adventures after the War Games, because right. We have Jamie and the Second Doctor out there, and the Second Doctor's obviously aged. And there's I forget the season name, the whatever season B, that the Time Lord sent the Second Doctor out to do other things. So we never saw a real regeneration. This right. is the regeneration. And as far as the being on, even though the Second Doctor had a sonic screwdriver, the Second Doctor used that sonic screwdriver as a screwdriver.
Driver.
So right. It's not that surprising that it's not the scientific instrument. Whereas the third Doctor was using it as a scientific instrument. I saw someone say at the end of all of this, someone needs to hand the Roof Doctor the third Doctor's sonic.
Really? Why?
So,
oh, so she's got it when she becomes the third Doctor. Is that what you're saying?
She becomes the third. Because the next thing we know after we see, oh, I'm getting giddy in the War Doctor, in the War Games, the next thing we see is Pertwee just stumbling out of the TARDIS. We never see an actual regeneration.
But Pertwee is wearing a dark suit when he stumbles out.
So I believe that's where she is. And that obviously the TARDIS looks very good, although there's some more First Doctor things in that TARDIS console room than Second Doctor things.
Yes. We've got to bear in mind the console that the Second Doctor used was the same console that the First Doctor used.
Right, but you see in this TARDIS, you see the monitor is more First Doctor monitor instead of what I don't recall. Well, they changed around the layout of the TARDIS a lot, the console room a lot during the First and Second Doctor's period. I mean, sometimes they just pull in a flat photograph of the roundels.
Right. Can I do my theory then?
Yes.
Go for it.
I think that it is a Doctor pre the First Doctor. And the Doctor made a point, tongue on my tongue, of to take memories out of people by touching them on the face. To take memories of. Now, I think that at some point she goes up to the Roof Doctor and takes the memory of what of meeting the Doctor, of anything of the Doctor, for some reason or other, wipes the knowledge that of somewhere along, or maybe the Doctor regenerates into the First Doctor. Somewhere along the line, she's taken the memories out of the Doctor, so he or she completely forgets about Ruth's incarnation or any incarnations before the First Doctor that we know. So I think she is pre-First Doctor. I think it's very close to she hasn't nicked the TARDIS; she's borrowed it at this point. It goes back to Gallifrey, and then because she's had a jaunt in it. And then she decides, he'd rather do it, like to do it permanently, possibly.
So at some point, she takes the TARDIS to 1963, and it just normally does the chameleon circuit thing. But why then hasn't, if it's buried at the lighthouse, why is it? It appears to be stuck.
It's a police box because it's on Earth, and it's just the state that it normally sets it to when it's on Earth. that nobody said how long it had been buried in that grave for, and it's a time machine, so it could have been around at any particular time.
Because the thing is that we did see the First Doctor take the cylindrical undisguised TARDIS.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean to say that just because it was a police box. When the Doctor, our Doctor, dug it up.
I agree with you.
What I'm saying is it's because it's on Earth, it's a police box. So it was still capable of changing if he decided to switch the switch. But there was no need for where they flew the TARDIS to the ship where that... what's her name? The one who shot herself accidentally.
Yeah.
Gat was. There was no need to change its appearance because.
Yeah. The thing about that is that we know that something made the Doctor flee Gallifrey that may have been because of working for Gat.
Yeah, but we don't know. Maybe so. No, I don't think so because I think the writers of the story would realise that we've seen the images of the Doctor nicking the TARDIS in the Day of the Doctor. So I just think that before the Doctor nicked the TARDIS, he must have, or she must have had a few rides in it to instill the, and there might be another reason, like running away from the Time Lords or because the Time Lords saw what she got up to before the TARDIS was stolen. Because obviously these time capsules are available to Time Lords to go around, and perhaps they're supposed to just observe, and that Doctor was told off for not quite doing what Time Lord. Anyway, it's just conjecture.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens.
That's my
what do you think, Debbie?
What? I believe that they could still fit this in. Mm. Well, I don't know.
We'll find out, but it'll be fascinating to find out.
I hope so.
I just hope
By the way, I've been rewatching I've been rewatching the scenes of the lighthouse, and actually, I don't think that they actually removed the TARDIS from the roof. They just very carefully
shot it. Yeah, so you can't see it.
Yeah, the
and CGI'd it out.
There's one scene where you could, if you know where that TARDIS is, it's blocked by a tree.
Right, okay. Anyway, Debbie, what are your theories?
I don't really have any. I've been watching, obviously, with interest, everybody's theories, the Babel podcast and things like that. I've had some interesting ones. But I kind of agree with Kirby's, you know, because she did remind me so strongly of the first three. It's got to be somewhere around there. And it's just been one of those where she... So, it's a film and TV science fantasy fiction. Yeah, yeah. It's timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly. Something's happening, and it's all going to boil up to what's happening, obviously, in the next story arc. Mm. With the lone Cyberman. They've been warned about.
The
Doctor says right at the end about time swirling around her, things are happening that shouldn't be, and things like that. So I'm not sure if they're going to justify it yet, but I think there will be a point where we find out a bit more about where she is, and hopefully Big Finish and some of the novels will run away with this. So I'm looking forward to that. I agree with that. It's somewhere between either 1 and 2 or 2 and 3, somewhere around there.
It harkens back to that scene in Brain of Morbius when, you know, they're having that fight and they go, back, Doctor, you see all these other faces, just rather implies that there was stuff before Hartnell.
Yeah, exactly, but it's not actually guaranteed, is it? That's the thing. That's what this whole introducing her like this is implied, is that it could turn Who on top of its head.
It could, yes.
Bit like Star Trek.
I will say though, when I forgot to mention this, but when I was watching it and we realised it was the Doctor because the TARDIS was there, I thought that's the Valiard for some reason, or there was their version of the Valiard or something like that. But anyway, yeah, it's going to be fascinating to find out. Jeff Wardle says, did someone mention a hot tub? I don't think we did actually, Jeff. To be fair,
Yes, I did.
You did.
The TARDIS on the roof of the real lighthouse.
It's where they get changed, isn't it?
Yes, it's a changing room for the hot tub, which is on the roof.
Oh. Right then. So I've got some blurb to send Debbie. Because she wasn't here last week, and I think she deserves the opportunity to get her dulcet tones.
And we also, I believe we've got...
There's feedback from, is it Robert or Reese has sent it via us, isn't it?
Quite possibly, yes. So, but just bear with me, because there's a lot
Mary,
to get through.
And Mary said
I've
something
got,
as
I've
well.
Got to set some audio thingies in the background up, so Alan's feedback will help me do some things behind the scenes to enable us to listen to things.
I haven't received it yet.
That's because I haven't sent it yet. What is it about women and impatience? Right, I've sent it now. I'll now send it to Alan, not you. Oh, God's sake. For God's sake, that was your fault, Debbie. Right, point deductive for Debbie
Alan,
for whenever we do the quiz one day.
Yeah, Alan can read it.
Yeah, get Alan on.
Yeah, that'd be good. Right, no, sorry about that, Alan. I presume Alan's listening, watching, or whatever you want to do. I've just sent him his own blooming feedback.
Well, you mentioned that he's left a comment on the live feed.
God, embarrassing. Right then, Debbie, I've just sent it to you, and that allows me then to set up some audio programming
and
for the background.
Did you want me to read either Reese's or Mary's?
You can do both in a minute.
You can do both in a minute. We'll have Debbie doing Alan's feedback first. This is going to take up a section of the show.
Let's see how well I can do it this week. Probably well. Because I managed to break my glasses, so I'm wearing 3 prescription old glasses, just so you know.
How'd you manage that? I don't want to know. Tell me later.
See, changing the face of Doctor Who, or the two Doctors who's jacked up to 13. Dear 20 megabyters, Fugitive of the Jadoon is, of course, a closely studied examination of procrastination in the form of putting off dealing with things which very soon just leaves you with them catching up with you like a platoon of Jadoon, and you feel like a poltroon. Clearly, the manifestation of two Doctors within the scenario has a psychological connotation, which we cannot currently fully diagnose since we are not yet privy to the causative exigencies which have provoked the scenario. That's a long sentence. The Jadoon exhibit their negative outlook on time-wasting activity, like really slow knitting and obsessive inappropriate investigations in others' affairs by summary destruction. The Doctor help... What is that noise?
I think it's Kirby fiddling with something.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me, I am enunciating. The Doctor helps the Doctor stop hiding, even if she is surprised that this is what she has done, and the Doctors go to confront the situation, with the Doctor then defying the Doctor by being more frank and open than the Doctor wanted her to be. However, this works out for the best. It should be noted that while some suggest Doctor Who cannot be a woman, in fact, it turns out the Doctor Who can be two women at the same time, which shouldn't surprise us. We also learn that Gallifreyan manual digging skills are very highly developed compared to humans. Also, the TARDIS has a transmat of convenience that can be used if it is buried.
Can you tell Kirby to stop fiddling? Otherwise, there's going to be some very serious repercussions. I can't even say the word.
Okay, ever since you said I might have made some noise,
yeah.
I put myself on mute until just a second ago. Yeah, so if there was any other noise, it wasn't me.
I'll let you off then.
I'm not doing anything. Oops. All in all, Fugitive of the Jadoon is a big kick up the posterior for a series which has been entertainingly but prosaically proceeding for much of the time since the most recent regeneration. Hear, hear. The challenging of some very basic assumptions has led to a great deal of excitement and discussion, the like of which has not been merited for some years. Convincingly presenting us with a credible new Doctor mixed up with the earlier revelation about Gallifrey is quite a feat, and was perhaps enhanced by the more straightforward or even mundane nature of the overall series narrative which has preceded it. There are many interesting character choices here for both Doctors which lend credibility to their shared identity whilst admitting the extraordinary circumstances of their encounter. Captain Jack's appearance might have been overwhelming, but in fact only serves to heighten the tone, building towards the even greater revelation to come. The impressive thing was that it led us through an extraordinary set of revelations without either giving them away nor making them feel like an unwarranted stretch. Great acting from everyone and great production, including the best TARDIS interior ever. Totally agree. Wish I'd mentioned it. Totally forgot to. Best TARDIS ever. I want that one. This is a great setup, and all that remains is for it to be followed through to satisfying developments and at some point a conclusion that both works and moves forward the Doctor Who universe forever. Nothing can go wrong with this now, surely. This story is perhaps about 5 episodes too short, as clearly we will not get close to resolving the full implications of what has been seen until the end of the series, if then. Next up, Doctor Who and the Return of Joe Grant's Skeleton Keys, or Yaz and the Plastic Population. Again, those are my thoughts. Alan T. Butcher.
Thank you, Alan. I think I know what's going on with the background, I think, and somebody has dropped something.
Is it me? It sounds like my voice sort of pinging
it's
back.
It's a bit of feedback speaking, just echoing around the Skype waves.
He's not Kirby, so he shouldn't go on mute anymore. He's fine.
God. Right then. So I think we now can move over to my rather successful. That's the word I was looking for. Successful request for feedback.
This was quite a response, wasn't it?
It's funny. I'm pleased that people like my request for feedback. Doesn't mean the same. I'm going to keep doing it. So Kirby, congratulations.
Well, you're going to be doing it next week because I will not be on next week.
Yeah, that's what she said. We're talking about the feedback at the moment. Go on in, Kirby. It starts with Patty Tiller. Is he there?
Hang on.
This really works well on the show, doesn't it? Hang on.
Okay, yeah, I wasn't ready. I was somewhere else.
Well, that's not a good enough
one. Okay, so I'm reading Patty Tiller's, the episode, great use of Captain Jack. Still not sure if I like the concept of a new Doctor, but willing to wait to see how it plays out. Laurie Nix put a animated GIF of Murder, She Wrote, I guess, eating popcorn.
Angela Lansbury, you mean?
Yes.
Yes.
Chris Miller says, love the episode. I'm just worried that the rest of the season will be like Orphan 55. I don't know. How was Praxeus?
I'm not going to tell you.
We're not going to tell you. Stop it.
That was a joke that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lottie Annie Keen. That's someone I don't think's fed back before.
No, she just watches.
Thought that gave it the blast from the past that it needed. Intrigued by the new Doctor idea, wibbly wobbly and all that.
Yes.
Vito Gregol, isn't that?
Yes, he was once in a relationship with Daphne Ashbrook.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Hang on, I've got to expand the replies. He says, not to sound close-minded, but heresy. This is as bad as the Valyard. Twisting it to make up for the fact that you don't have any good story ideas. Cheap shot. Though Joe does make a cool doctor.
She does.
Robert Haynes says, we'll have to see where they go with it. I'm just hoping that it doesn't end as a cheap shot. Otherwise, I'll be most annoyed. And Chibnall doesn't have the best track record on Doctor Who. He then says, I think that I probably would have preferred Joe over Whittaker as the Doctor. As I said before to
he was brilliant.
Debbie, I kind of agree.
Yeah.
Vito says, Robert Haynes, lots of people have posted that. Plus, the companions are very uninteresting. I love Fifth Doctor, too many of them, too.
Mm. Well, Robert, Jack says that at the time as well, doesn't he? Three of you?
Robert says, exactly my complaint. Have you been reading my mind? Half the time, Tuss and Cole looks bored out of his brain. I thought that Graham showed the best promise out of them all, but he doesn't seem to have been given much to work with this time. Bradley Walsh is a good actor, too. Vito says, yes, both Bradley and Sandeep have done great work in other shows but aren't cast right here, or their characters aren't interesting. I've never seen Tosin, but he seems out of his depth, and again, his character is uncompelling. Jeff says, Christ, Bradley Walsh is great in this show. Robert says, I love the guy. He hasn't been given much to work with the series, though. More comedy this time, if you can call it comedy. I much preferred the seriousness of the last episode. Yeah,
agree with that.
And it's granddad jokes is what it is. Jeff says he's a goner anyway. Aaron says that would be a little sad if true, but it would also make sense. In one of the recent trailers, Ryan says something about, is this our lives? Which does make you wonder if either something bad is going to happen or they will both end up leaving after having enough of the adventures. Hasn't that actually happened before, where someone said that they didn't want to go with him or something to that effect? I can't quite remember the circumstances. And Jeff says Tegan said she wanted to leave the second she got in the TARDIS. Adric said he'd found a way home. Three episodes later, he was dinosaur food. Wow, this just goes on and on.
Yeah, but it's good stuff.
Yes. I hadn't had a chance to read it this morning. Best episode of the Chibnall era so far.
This is Patrick Bishop, everybody. Patrick Bishop.
Yes. Captain Jack was a great surprise. I wish he had been a surprise to me. Oh, well. As far as the other Doctor is concerned, I think she is either from an alternate timeline or some sort of Bruce. If it turns out that she is actually a Doctor, my bet is she's between Troughton and Pertwee. Yay! I do not think that this is a future Doctor.
Nope.
Whatever the outcome, I find it humorous about people complaining about canon now. A show is an altered time and time again in the past.
Yeah.
The vision of a showrunner.
Yes.
Exactly. Chris Miller says exactly about canon. Now, which Atlantis version in Doctor Who is supposed to be canon? So Atlantis has been destroyed how many times? Three times? Robert says, let's just say each version was a different timeline. LOL. Joshua says, super episode. Can't wait to see how the story pans out from here. Feeling hopeful again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would feel hopeful again if I knew how Praxeus was.
Oh, shut up.
Aaron says, I love the episode. I'd also recommend for a slightly different experience, if anyone has iPlayer, go the episode and then select watch audio described version. Or it might say watch with AD. This is how I watch Doctor Who every week. You'll hear a voice describing things. I think this week's was done very well, especially with the first character reveal. They let the audio quite literally speak for itself and said the reveal. It was wonderful. If I may make an aside right now, the Tin Dog, when he was discussing this story this week, was somehow, I don't know where he got it, but he said somewhere they were describing the Ruth Doctor as three.
Oh, were they?
He might have been seeing some internal BBC documents or something. So
I don't.
That's interesting. Anyway, Eric Escamilla, this is how Black Mirror should be watched as well. The audio description narrator becomes the unseen host of the show. Aaron says, ooh, wow, interesting. I will keep that in mind. By the way, Eric, just out of curiosity, how did you find out about audio description? Also, thanks for the tip-off. I'll keep that show in mind.
I'll just interject here. Aaron is a blind person who's very active, especially on Isle of Wight conventions and stuff. And
he's
amazing. He is amazing, yes.
Yeah, that's why every week when I put the my Hitchhiker's Guide thing, I now make it a point to describe the picture.
Yes, put in text so Aaron can read it, basically.
Yes. Jeff says, I've watched this story 3 times, best episode since it returned in 2005, faultless. Aaron says, you've watched it 3 times, but have you tried watching it without a description yet? Jeff says, no, I'm off for a week on Monday. I'll do it then. Lori says, I want her tailor because it's all about the cut of one's jib. I do like that they are both wearing the same colors for the most part. I love the prickly interaction betwixt the two. As we all know, doctors don't get along with themselves.
Yeah.
Robert Wentz Jr., Fugitive of the Judoon. So far, one of the best episodes of Series 12, surpassed by Fall, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Lots to talk about. So we go the Family of Blood 2-parter as well as the Sound of Drums 3-parter. Where to start? Great to see Captain Jack back. Could this be the start of the face of Bo that Jack could be changing into?
Yes.
Also, the missing doctor, could she be the regeneration before or after the first doctor? Or could... No, she's not. Or could be tied into the regeneration... Could be tied to the Timeless Child. I have no problems with her being another woman. It's time to shake up the show. I wish Captain Jack did meet up with the doctor. A little bit disappointed about that. In the doctor room, TARDIS... Was that the arch behind her on the wall? Yes, it was. I really enjoyed it, and the episode is very rewatchable. Felt very Sarah Jane adventure with the Judoon.
Yeah.
We found out that the Ruth Doctor was the fugitive the Judoon was after. Who was behind the contract? Was it past Time Lords tracking the Doctor down? She didn't know the destruction, which makes me wonder, was the Time Lord before the Time War? Looking forward to see Ruth again, and not a one-off.
Yeah.
4 out of 5.
Absolutely.
4.5 out of 5.
Yeah. 5 out of 5 for me, but there you go.
Yeah, 5 out of 5 for me, too. Jeff says, some of that's right. I've had a tip-off from someone who's been right every season. I've got no reason to doubt them. Robert Wentz Jr., okay, good to hear. Robert Haynes, do tell. Robert Haynes says, I thought that the Judoon worked very well here. Good to see them, giving a good story for their return, too. Jeff says, I'm not posting here, but we'll message you if you want to know. Robert says, yes, please.
Not you, Tim, eh?
Tim Drury is commenting. Not keen on Ruth Doctor's costume when she first appeared. I thought, oh, look, the Master's back.
Yes.
I like that costume.
No, I do. I like it, too. But I can understand where he's coming
I love
from.
The shirt. Yeah. I'm going to have to find that.
Erin says...
Laurie's on the case with a cosplay. I hope so. I'm looking forward to seeing that. She does some fantastic cosplay.
She does.
Erin says, could someone please describe the costumes? That's the one thing the audio description has not done. So I don't know what Jodie's doctor looks like. I don't know what Ruth looks like. Laurie says, Dr. Ruth is wearing dark trousers and boots. The boots look a bit like army boots to me. The rest of her costume is cut like an updated Regency period, cutaway jacket and waistcoat, made of a dark blue-gray wool... in a similar tone to 13's teal blue trousers. Both waistcoat and jacket are ornamented with a silver pewter buttons down both sides, giving it a military double-breasted look. Her high-collared long-sleeved shirt is slightly ruffled at the cuffs and collar and made up of a bright pattern, maybe Ankara fabric, and oranges, yellows, and other contrasting colors, a bit like the rainbow stripe colors on 13's t-shirt. Her long braids are pulled back and she wears hoop earrings. I'll leave someone else to describe 13's loose coat, suspenders, t-shirt, and crop pant look.
Brilliant work there, Laurie. Oh, sorry, I just thought it was fantastic.
Billy Cookbrook says, I've not seen the last 3 weeks of Doctor Who. Life is so busy. Aaron says, I'm sure it will be on iPlayer for the next while, so I don't think there'll be much of a rush.
All right, we'll skip what Ian says.
Yes. Robert Wentz Jr. says, I was also thinking of the next Doctor. It was Christmas fluff, but enjoyable. I kind of wish he was going to be the next Doctor. I noticed the connection of the Cybermen or the last Cybermen. I think Jack had something to do with it. Hmm. That's the end of these. And since I read all that... So
hang on, there's still stuff come through on the emails. But while I'm setting that up, Debbie,
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Reese sent us some feedback, and Mary's unfortunately very poorly with flu or coming down with
let's it. Hope it like let's I was... hope it's not a certain flu that's arrived in this country.
I thought all I've had all week at work was, is it coronavirus? Because I've been spluttering. Oh, my God, it's flu. It's the time of year. And we all hope that she gets better very soon.
So we do,
can get
yes.
in on this next one, because it's brilliantly yes. good to be.
Can't wait okay. to hear what she thinks of this.
Yeah. Right, but it was a fantastic episode, best episode of the Chibnall era. Yeah, this is Reese, by the way. It was great to have the Jadoon back. Their parts of the episode, especially the very military style of much music associated with them, gave us a pace we haven't had in a while. Captain Jack's return was a delightful surprise, and his teasing of a season arc was exciting, intriguing, and has raised a lot of questions. Speaking of which, as has the appearance of another Doctor. I thoroughly enjoyed this episode. It actually had nuance and layers to the plot, managed to include twists and turns that kept you guessing. That's what I've been after since Stephen Moffat left. Not to say Moffat was the only one capable of writing stories like that, with more than just the basic surface level of a story, which this era usually has. I can hear me again.
Yes, yeah, you. Every time you talk, it seems to be coming back over the system. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. I hope it doesn't affect things. This episode, however, is back on track for me. That's how I like my Who. Well thought out plots with more going on. Also, I don't know if I can say this bit properly, say the name properly. I do hope so. Also, Siga Nakinola posted on Facebook that during the scene where Ruth breaks the glass, he included a piece of music that was a combination of a theme that he'd set up earlier on the episode for Ruth and the theme he wrote for the Master in the opening two-parter as a musical tease that she could also have been the Master as opposed to being the Doctor as she is. Isla thought she was the Master.
Yes.
Even the music is having a lot of thought out into it. That's another sort of thing I love. Those are some relatively quick thoughts. Sadly, I can't present them myself, but sadly, my employment duties are calling. Speak to you next time I manage to.
Okay, well, don't move on to the next bit yet. Hang on. Whoa, Mary. There. Whoa there, Debbie. Whoa. Debbie.
Yeah, I'm stopped. What?
Whoa. Oh, sorry. I thought you were carrying on because you went Mary. It sounded like Robert for a minute there. Right then. So what we're going to do is...
Wait, what about Mary's feedback?
That's what he's just
Christ's
saying,
sake,
Kirby.
Right. Point deducted whenever we do a quiz again.
Hello, 20
Megawatt
Podcast is
Inc. Sorry, Ian. I messed that up because of Kirby. Made me cross.
Hello, 20 Megawatt Podcast is Inc. Fugitive of the Jadoon by Vinay Patel and Chris Chibnall. As in the Tesla story, the TARDIS crew does not appear in the first few minutes. The story is set in Gloucester, about 22 miles from Wales. In the year 1155, Henry II granted a charter to make Gloucester a city, on condition that they spell it Gloucester to confuse the tourists. Americans later retaliated with the spelling of Arkansas. Yaz gets to use her police training to find the hidden artifact. The Doctor shows us her Vulcan mind meld skills.
Yes.
We see another Doctor, played by Joe Martin. Remember that name if you like pub quizzes. Avoid arguments on the internet about how many Doctors there have been. And don't tell Ben Shuvler there is another female Doctor. Lighthouse scenes were recorded near Newport in Wales. We get the running gag about Graham being mistaken for the Doctor because he is an older man. Note that the plot was constructed so that Captain Jack does not know what the Doctor looks like. That might be important in a later story.
Ah.
Or might never come up again.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what
the added one. The Jadoon is sometimes threatening, but mostly bureaucratic comic relief. So, a reimagining of the Bogons from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. As a Jadoon leader might have said to our Prime Minister, ho ho, Bojo. We are recording this podcast on 02/02/2020.
Indeed.
Day.
This is the same forward as it is backwards.
Yeah. Spooky.
And the same in British format as it is in American.
Yes.
And we should therefore have started at 8:20, shouldn't we, instead of 8:10? Oh, well. That would have been 2020.
Yeah, so someone mentioned that to me in feedback to where I posted that today was the ultimate palindrome day on my regular Facebook page.
Right. We've not had one since, I can't remember what year it was, 1900 and something.
Yeah, right. As I was just about to say, and you all talked over me yet again, not you, Debbie, I was trying to say we should have started the show at either 2002 or 2020 on this date to add this 022002 situation in. But Kirby talked right over it, earning himself...
No, I didn't. I heard you say it. I didn't say a thing.
Oh, God. At least we've got some listeners to verify that I was right on that one. Right then.
Now, Debbie. Master?
Oh, yes?
As Ian was talking... Yes. For that, it almost sounded like he said that the story was set in the year 1155.
Oh, God.
What?
Oh, gosh.
He said the story is set in Gloucester, about 22 miles from Wales, in the year 1155.
Never mind. Anyway, right, back onto the feed before Debbie does Mary, not in the biblical sense, obviously.
That's what she said.
Alan T. Butcher says, first time I've received feedback. Cheers for that, Alan. And then he says, how was Praxeus? And he says, it has been said that the writer was referring to somewhere to Dr. Ruth as three. And Lillian Robbins said, good question. How was Praxeus? I can't even see it until it's on BBC America this evening.
I nearly let slip earlier. I didn't mean to.
Let slip what?
How, what I thought of it as I was
not the dogs of war.
Yeah, how was it?
I'm not telling you.
Well then, Debbie, if you'd like to continue with Mary.
Yeah, fortunately she's bowed out, as everyone knows, so hopefully get well soon. But let me share your delight in this episode. I was surprised and fully engaged while watching it, and I'm encouraged, intrigued, and excited.
Oh, Debbie.
What? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, carry on.
Got to do it right, okay?
Yes, that's what I was just trying to allude to.
I missed a bit about how poorly she's feeling, because it's not fair to read everything out, is it? But
no.
Get well soon. See, we're starting again. You can edit that.
Can I?
But let me share your delight in this episode. I was surprised and fully engaged while watching it, and I'm encouraged, intrigued, and excited about what may be coming next. However, Chibnall may be leaving us hanging because the previews for the next story don't appear to pick up on any of the themes introduced in this one. Talk with you all next week.
Well, maybe they do, but no one will tell me.
No, we're not telling you a thing. Although the internet's already live with it.
Anything else through from people who can't be bothered to be on the show? Hello, anybody there?
What?
I said,
no,
is
that
it?
Was it.
Is it? Oh, no, it isn't. Oh, for God's sake. That went wrong because of somebody's got a very, very quiet recording device. Try again. Here we go.
Evening, 20 megabytes, it's Andy Gunner here. It is just before 7 o'clock on Sunday evening, so I guess you're about to record. I'm sitting here with a glass of white wine. Yes, it is now February. Sorry, Adam. Anyway, I caught up last night with the last two episodes of Doctor Who. So, Nikola Tesla's Night of Terror. Yeah, that was interesting, wasn't it? Yeah. I mean, it was... I don't know. It seemed a bit samey. I'm trying to think where I've seen those spider creatures before. They really, really look familiar. And the Alien Queen as well. I mean, the way they got rid of her, it's... yeah. And there's a lot of history in there. I mean, the AC/DC war, I think they would call it, is actually quite true. There's a lot going on there. Interesting about Edison as well. Yeah, they're taking a historical character. I wonder how true to life he really was. You know, was he the great inventor that everyone thought he was? And also the things that came up elsewhere that Tesla had invented or dreamed of the concept of them. You know, wonder. You feel like, you know, like Leonardo da Vinci. You know, I think he came with the helicopter as a concept. You know, so. I think there were probably other people who could have come up with ideas, just weren't able to put them into practice, didn't have the capability. I mean, certainly the money to put into practice, because that's what Edison certainly did have, and what he said was quite right. Interesting to see Robert Dennison coming back. Yes, who remembered him in his previous role in the Doctor Who? That's interesting seeing somebody coming back and playing a real character, I thought, as well. And I thought the way the companions came very much to the fore in this one. I think the way they all split off and did different things. So, it was all right. I think now that's, you know, as Ben would have probably said, it was all right. You know, nothing really special, nothing brilliant, but that was it. And then we came to Fugitive June. Now I heard some spoilers, so I knew there was another Doctor somehow. There was a woman, and I knew Captain Jack was back into it. But oh my,
yeah.
Oh, this just was so good. I think the way it was written, I mean, having the Doctor coming down and landing and watch people running off in terror. He's in Gloucester as well. It's an interesting place to come to. It's not the most exciting places, I don't think, but
I like
Beast Cathedral and Harry Potter being filmed there as well. But I think it's opened up a lot of things. There's a lot of unanswered questions. You know, what is Captain Jack doing back there as well? And I think, again, it's lovely the way, you know, he thought the Doctor male, you know, and then finding out it's a female and being great about it. I think that really shows the way Captain Jack does think. You know, he really is, he's a very, very interesting character indeed. And we certainly haven't seen the last of him, have we? I mean, the lone Cyberman, things, what's going on there. So there's a lot of questions being answered here. And I think this episode has really set this season on fire. I think it really has. It's opened lots up. And then we come to the other Doctor. I mean, even though I knew it was coming somehow, I thought it was absolutely stunning. You know, I remember when we had the War Doctor come in and watching that and thinking, you know, what is going on here? But at least there was a slot for the War Doctor 15 when you think about it between McGann and Eccleston. You could drop it in there, but how drop it in? So what is this other Doctor? Where did she come in? So the Doctor, I don't, you know, she's not from my past. So is it an alternate timeline Doctor? Is it another Time Lord known as the Doctor? And how is it? And going back to Gallifrey at the end herself as well, it's coming up there, and the Master's not out of it as well. This has just blown open the whole season, I think. It really has. I think it's just absolutely incredible. I really, really enjoyed this last night. I think it's one of the best I've seen in ages. Oh, and the Roundels as well. Be seeing you.
Yes, very, very well done. That was Andy Nunny, everybody.
I wish I could have understood it, but that's fine.
I understood it. Did you understand it, Debbie?
I understood it perfectly.
No, I've got problems with hearing the audio through Skype.
Oh, okay.
Did you have problems? Oh, never mind. I'm not going to argue with it. Right then. So, yes, all in all.
I've changed around my audio setup on this end, and obviously I need to fiddle with it.
Jiddle it about a bit.
Yeah, all right. I don't think that's really relevant. That's behind-the-scenes stuff.
I've got 2 weeks to get it figured out.
Excuse me. Yes, that's behind-the-scenes stuff. Shut up. Right then. We've got... what else we've got coming through on here? Oh, nothing else. I thought I had more stuff coming through on the live feed. But
maybe someone could ask about Praxeus.
Shut up. A far more satisfactory collection of feedback articles there. I'm just going to check the email to make sure nothing else has come through. Oh, I can't find my email page. Oh, there it is. Nope. Well done, everyone. A round of applause and one of these for all the feedback providers this week. Fantastic. Right then. So.
Yeah, I will be driving during the time we will be recording.
You will?
Next week, so... I mean, I could, you know, I have done a podcast from the car before, so I'm...
So is Adam. So have I.
I've done the podcast while driving from Portsmouth to Brighton, so that was...
So you can look for me, but I have no guarantees. We might still be at the convention.
Well, it would help if you could illustrate somehow that you might be available. That would be quite good, wouldn't it, Deb?
Yeah, just like Semaphore or something.
No, that's not quite what I was trying to do.
We'll see, because I don't know exactly what our schedule's going to be. They're supposed to have a Tesla coil set up sometime during that day.
Right.
I might wait around for that.
Right. Now, I seem to remember...
Tesla? You've heard of Tesla?
Yeah, all right, be quiet. So, can you not mute other lines on this Skype thing? Right then. Yes, I did. When we were still watching Doctor Who, Debbie, that stuff was coming through on the chat.
Yes.
I knew you'd say, "We're still watching." I thought that was quite amusing.
Yeah. Well, I have discovered at least one thing about Praxeus. So there.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but he then asked which one. It's like, well, obviously we're not on A yet. So.
Right, Doctor Who news. Nicholas Parsons has passed away. Legend, that is. Nicholas Parsons.
Oh, he's a legend,
by the way,
yeah.
96 years old. He was in Doctor Who. He was in The Curse of Fenric. But, yes, he's a TV legend. And as far as I can make out from all the reports about him, a jolly nice man.
He was lovely.
Very well known for hosting Sailor of the Century for many years, but obviously he was a thespian.
Just a minute, thank you.
Mm. Nikola Tesla's official ratings, 5.2 million, which...
Oh, no, the show's losing overnight figures. It'll be canceled.
I'm pretty sure there's a third series of Jodie is being done. I'm pretty sure that's happening.
Yeah, no, that's been confirmed, hasn't
it?
I
think they've actually started filming it, haven't they? Maybe.
Believe so.
Probably.
I know they're filming the next series of The Crown now, aren't they? That's been confirmed as finishing at series five.
I'm very late for the party for that one, but I'm catching up. That's amazing.
The ratings make the episode the 11th most watched programme on BBC television. Jadoon overnight figures, 4.21 million views. I've got a funny feeling that's going to go up quite substantially.
I'm feeling that will definitely go up.
And it was represented 21.2% of the total viewing audience, making Doctor Who the sixth most popular show. Oops, sorry. I just had a Cadbury's cream eggs. Everybody was watching the video feed.
Ooh, jealous.
I've got a box full of them. I got from
Did
Booker's.
You eat them unpleasantly?
No, I eat them two bits. I've got a box full of them I picked up from. I just said that from Booker's, and that's my first one. I opened the box yesterday.
I might have to give you some money for next time you go up to Booker's to get me a case.
What, of Cadbury's cream eggs?
Yeah, I love them. They're my favourite thing ever.
15 quid, I think it was, for a case. Well, I don't care. I thought...
Oh, I still haven't had a birthday present, so can I come and nick one?
Yes. Eh?
Den of Geek has got a review of Praxeus.
You cow. Right then.
I'm only joking, you know that.
But yes, of course you can come up and have one.
I'll nick one, yeah.
The Telegraph has a review of Praxeus.
It does? Have I got there yet? I was going down the viewing figures. Oh, does it? Well, shut up.
No, not there. I've been Googling Praxeus.
Shut up, Kirby. Why can't you wait to watch it?
Yeah, come on. Just enjoy it.
Zerenzi Volume 3 is out. We're back to last week's stuff. So there's hardly any news on the Doctor Who news feed. That's a bit annoying, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. It looked pretty much the same.
What do you mean?
Ah, good. I've got Praxeus.
Have you? Fantastic. Well, congratulations. You can get ointment for that, as you'll find out while watching the episode. Right then, Doctor Who Magazine 54 2020 yearbook is out. This is at whowon.co.uk, along with Doctor Who Magazine 547, Revelation of the Daleks, audiobook, Robots 1. Where's that one? It's during the events of Doctor Who Ravenous 2, Liv Chenka leaves the Doctor and the TARDIS behind just for 1 year, a year during which she would live on Kaldor and get to know her sister Tula all over again. Dead Man's Switch, which is a Torchwood story. Oh, which then segues me into Wales Comic Con, where, don't get cross, I had to do this on a credit card. But I have purchased on the Sunday at Wales Comic Con a photo opportunity with all six Torchwood main people.
Why am I not surprised?
What do you mean, why are you not surprised?
Can I stow away?
So it's the Japanese lady whose name escapes me. What was her character's name? I haven't watched Torchwood for years. Anyway, her. Bern Gorman, John Barrowman, Kai Owen, Gareth David Lloyd, and I'm sure there's another. Oh, yes, of course. That would be Eve Miles.
Are you going to be cosplaying all this time, or are you not bothering?
Am I what, sorry?
Are you going to cosplay this time?
I'm trying to get hold of a decent Picard uniform costume, better than the one I wore during the carnivals, which was far too tight. So that's what I'm aiming to do. Not on both days, because obviously if I'm having my picture taken with all of the Torchwood crew, I've got to think of something appropriate to wear. It'll probably be a 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast T-shirt.
But I want to have a really good picture. Get another one of those.
I really do need. I'm looking forward to that. Because that means, therefore, that the John Barrowman photo, and I do hope that Deb calls, because Deb keeps calling him John Barrymore. I'm hoping she says that to his face at some point, because that would be highly amusing.
Love that, to be honest.
But yeah, so it will be probably Deb and Isabella will be in that picture with just John Barrowman, but the Torchwood crew picture will be just me. I can't wait to have the picture up on my wall. It's my wall is that saturated with these sorts of pictures at the moment. But
you could probably take down the one of me looking like
down comes the fifth Doctor painted by Alistair Pearson to be replaced by the big print of me and the Torchwood crew. Possibly, but yeah. Sorry, I'll just segue then. But it's very exciting. Very exciting.
Are you excited? It's loud.
Big
it's going to be very exciting. Very jealous.
Yes. Yes, well, understandably so, but very expensive.
I know, exactly.
It's a one-off, isn't it? Yeah, well, no, other people have had that particular photo.
I'm saving up for Barcelona. Right? It's either Barcelona with my family or a Comic-Con, so I've had to go to Barcelona.
Coming soon on whoone.co.uk is Fourth Doctor 9.1 Part 1. It's a big finish audio featuring the Tom Baker, Lalla Ward and Matthew Waterhouse, who's not doing conventions this year, so I can guarantee he won't be at FantasyCon. Fourth Doctor 9.1 Part 2, at Childhood's End, which is a book by somebody called Sophie Aldred, I've got to message her to let her know that we're not doing the review until after the series is finished. And if she says she'd rather do it sooner, we might have to shoehorn it in. But, yes, we will be having Sophie on the show to talk about this book in due course. Dark Universe by Guy Adams. And Diary of River Song 7 by Elizabeth et al. Miles. That's a strange name, yeah. Talk to a story called Expectant, featuring Captain Jack himself. I think John Barrowman writes some of these stories, doesn't he? The big Finnish ones, I believe.
I believe so.
I may have dreamt that.
Mary's more of an authority on this than I am.
I think he has. Funny thing, he has written something for Torchwood, audio-wise. Anyway, that's whoone.co.uk. Lavazzi still produce, and you sometimes see these sort of versions of the Fourth Doctor scarf, which have been sort of handmade, which are admirable, but still not as good as the ones that Lavazzi do that actually look like the scarves. That the Fourth Doctor actually wore, and us people who have them cherish them. Get one yourself at lavazzi.co.uk. Which reminds me, I must send them an invoice because I keep forgetting. I only remember when I do this show, which is really weird. And for fans of You Won't Get This One, it's not dead. I'm waiting for Kobe to interject with a Goons catchphrase.
It's not a Goons. That's Monty Python.
Yeah, good, okay. All right, fair enough, Monty Python. What is it then?
I'm not dead. He's getting better. Yeah,
it's a Holy Grail quote. So what we're going to do, I've just ordered a new set of Trivial Pursuit cards that are a bit more up to date.
I was going to say, are they updated?
Mm. I heard that there was an up to date version.
Yes. I've not got that yet, so
there you go. Doesn't have the errors.
The errs. I don't know. I mean,
I can't be accused of cheating now.
Well, yeah. Anyway, so they're coming through via the gods at Amazon. So by the time we finish this series and done Sophie and resume the journey, we'll be back on the quiz boat. But it will be done in a different way. As I've said, there'll be a new way of playing the game, but essentially it's still a quiz. So, looking back on what's coming through on the Facebook live feed, Alan T. Putcher says, the Star Trek Sontaran to return. I don't know what he's going on about, but there you go. Which brings me to Picard Episode 2, which I was quite disappointed with.
Oh, I think
with.
He's making fun of your bald head.
Yeah, as I say, Picard episode 2. I was quite. It was a filler episode. I didn't think it was that good, to be fair.
I haven't seen it yet. No spoilers.
Yeah. Patrick Stewart's in it. Kirby.
That's a spoiler.
That's a spoiler, is it? Patrick Stewart's in a series called Picard.
Right.
A series of which he is one of the producers, hasten to point out. But yeah, episode 2, well, that goes. So I'm hoping that next Friday, after waiting all week, I was really excited now. Watched a fairly drab episode, really. And that's about it, really. Nothing much to report. Anybody? Anything? Have a bath and watch the BAFTAs. I would like to watch the BAFTAs.
Are there any Doctor Who things up for BAFTAs?
No, this is the BAFTA Film Awards.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so these
am I supposed to know?
This is where the people who do the Oscars watch this to get their ideas of who to give the Oscars to. So this is the proper Academy Awards, aren't they, Deb?
Yep.
Yeah. These are the legitimate Academy Awards that lead to the Oscars.
Yeah. No, so if you win this is a big
If you win this, you go, it's very, like very good chance that you might win the Oscar for the same thing. most of the time, unless it's a, as long as there's an American connection to the film and stuff. Waiting for Kirby to take the bait and not getting anything.
No, I'm multitasking.
What? You can get an ointment for that as well, actually, Kirby. So. What we got here? Alan T. Butcher said, "How was Picard episode 2 and Praxeus?" And then Laurinette said, "Laurinette says Kirby in Picard. There's a whole thing about Praxeus." Yeah. Right. I don't know the name of the next.
Articles ready to read as soon as we're done about Praxeus. Plus, yeah. I actually have the episode now. So there.
Well, enjoy it, Kirby.
Yeah.
Yes. But will I?
Well, I'm just saying, just please enjoy. It's cool. A nice mannerism. I wasn't hinting at anything. Oh,
I think I've got
please enjoy.
I just don't want an Orphan 55.
Oh, what? That's a grower Orphan 55. I think it's one
no,
of those
it
things.
Isn't.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't. That's what sounds like a Is that? No, I think that might be a Monty Python thing as well. Yeah, it is.
Wait,
say no more. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Say no more.
No, it isn't lining Monty Python sketch, isn't it?
No, it isn't.
It's the parrot sketch.
Oh, speaking of Monty Python, did anyone notice the picture that I posted on my regular Facebook last week? I went to a model train show. And there was a Lego version of the assurance the insurance building that turns into a pirate ship.
Oh yes, yeah, the Prime Indemnity Insurance or something. Yeah,
the
it?
Crimson
yeah,
Permanent Assurance.
Yeah. Talking of Monty Python,
Crimson Indemnity Insurance. That's
if you're a particular fan of Monty Python and want to see a lovely tribute to Terry Jones.
Oh, that's so funny.
If you watch the NTAs when Sir Michael Palin receives his award, he steps up there, doesn't take any credit for what he's done, he just talks about his best friend.
Best mates, weren't
it's
they, those
very
two?
Moving, but it's just the whole setup's great, especially John Cleese's bit. It's brilliant. But it's worth watching that. It's probably on YouTube somewhere, isn't it?
Yes, it is, actually.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I saw it.
Oh, you've seen it. I mentioned it then, sorry.
Other people would
want to
see it.
So,
next week we'll be talking about the next episode of Doctor Who, title of which
is it
going to
be Praxeus? Hey, I won't be able to talk about it until the next week.
Oh dear. Oh no! We're doomed.
Oh, that's fallen into the realms of serendipity.
We love you, Kirby.
So, that'll be next week, same time, around the same time, same place. And
around,
probably
yeah.
not the same people the
I'll
way this
on.
Show goes.
Mary will be on, hopefully, if she's better. Yeah. And
I hope so.
Hopefully we'll have the Robert or Reece.
Well, it depends how far the coronavirus has travelled, doesn't it, really?
That's not really transmitted over the airwaves. It's not the Hollow virus from Red Dwarf.
You realize more people have died of flu this year than have died of coronavirus.
And coronavirus is a very odd name for it. Hasn't it actually got a name? Because a coronavirus is a blanket title, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, it's called the Wuhan coronavirus.
Wuhan!
Whatever. Now, somebody told me a funny story. It was from work, actually. A load of new gear for the bakery team has been sent through, and a massive load of hand gel in light of the coronavirus. And where do you think the hand gel was sent from?
China. It's where ours just came from.
China.
Yeah.
There's an irony there somewhere, isn't there? That's it then. So next week, thank you for listening, watching and taking part in the show. Please send some more feedback in. That was great this week. We actually managed to fill up the show
And how was Praxeus?
For the subject matter of the podcast, which is incredible and unusual.
Yes.
So till then, goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye,
everyone.
Fancy Pants.
Aware Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whowon.co.uk and lavazzi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.
Why are you watching Doctor Who again?